Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page, and feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life.
Welcome to Lorehammer, episode 42, Crossing the Void.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Hey boys. Hi.
That's Mark. Joining us today we have Rio.
Hey guys.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back. When was the last one you were on?
It's always Tal.
I think it was.
It was Tal.
Oh no, actually no, it was the alien species, the extended aliens.
That must have been a while ago.
Has it been that long?
It's been a while.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's been a minute, hey?
Yeah.
We have done a lot of Tau recently, and it has been bullshit. I'll tell you that.
It has been a lot of bullshit.
It's been so much Tau. Also joining us today is James.
Hi, my duties are undefined here.
Undefined.
Yep.
Let's explore that.
I don't know what
undefined.
That means. Yeah, like what am I here for? I don't know.
Have no idea. But this is our first episode recording where Jordan is not officially with us. So everyone pour one out for your boy, shed a tear for our man, and swiftly move on because we don't give a shit. All right.
Oh my God.
He's listening to this.
I know he is. Jordan, if you're listening, please come back. Took me too long to work on technology.
I've been doing Instagram live and people jump on and Jordan's come on a couple times and be like, hey Jordan, and just signs off right away.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would he ever want to talk to us?
No, I like to think he misclicked on it and joined it.
That finger done.
Yeah.
But yeah, we recently bought a laptop.
Yep.
With the donations from our Patreons, our patrons, as it were, patronettes. Mm-hmm. No girls are contributing to this.
And if they are, it's actually their boyfriend contributing, exactly. Just in their name, just like how I pay my wife's food bill and stuff.
Yeah.
Your wife has
a food bill?
Yeah.
She sends you an invoice? She's allowed, I ate this many crackers.
Yeah, she's allowed a certain amount of food, can't let her get chubby.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Anyways, we were able to buy a laptop. Thank you to everyone who contributed. What we also had to do was buy recording software. So altogether, I think we spent close to $900 in total.
Plus it almost broke Eric emotionally, mentally.
Yeah, a little before this, I was a couple seconds away from having a little bit of a meltdown. But hey, you know what? All's well that ends well in the world of Lorehammer. But we did have, after our pleas for patrons, we had some awesome people join. So we just want to thank some. Our newest patrons are Adam,
Michael.
Oh, sorry. Did you want to say
it? I thought we were going to do one and one.
Sure. You know what? Let's do it.
Because I also want to show my appreciation.
Let's do it.
Show your appreciation.
Undefined James?
Yeah, Undefined James.
Well, I don't have the link here, but thanks, Gary. Gray. Gray Gary. That's what I like to call him.
And then, Rio, if you could just thank the next person on the list.
We'd like to thank Bill Bigsby.
Yes. Bill Bigsby actually is a person that is dear to us.
But also dead to me.
Also, well, he might be dead. Is he dead? I don't know, but all I know is he can't go back to prison. That's all I know about Bill Bigsby. Bill is actually Rio. It was one of Rio's characters in our game. So thank you, Rio, for supporting
us. Is that why we had him on this episode?
That is why. He paid to be here.
Oh my God.
How else do you get
this is the precedent going forward that each new Patreon you're going to fly here and then have
fly
on the
here.
Podcast.
Well, hey, all expense paid trip.
If we ever get a donation for $10,000, we will pay for you to come here. We will,
you can
we will
sleep
buy
in Mark's bed.
No, we'll put you up in a hotel for a couple
days. No,
you sleep in Mark's bed.
No. That's what you get. We're flying you out here. We're putting you up in a hotel. We will rent a car for you. We'll pay for your gas. We'll pay for your meals.
None of that's going to matter because I'm just going to spend the entire week in my bed.
We'll buy you a t-shirt. We'll buy you a hoodie. All you got to do is donate $10,000.
I would recommend
if you're gonna do that, do it in the summer because it's
well,
real
don't
cold
do it in
here.
The goddamn winter.
It's real sure. cold here, so don't
I'm
do it
pretty
now.
Pretty sure it's like almost -40.
It feels
Celsius,
like 40.
Which is also -40 Fahrenheit.
Oh,
for all you,
science
all you.
Science is filthy. But there's one more person we need to thank, who goes by the name of Scat Bukkake. And seriously, like, legitimately, that is the name that appeared on our Patreon alert. So,
he had horrible parents if they named him that.
It's freaking hippie parents. No, that's not even hippie parents. I don't even know what that is. But anyways, thank you, everyone.
Anti parents?
Yeah.
Especially Gray, because I screwed up your name.
Yeah, especially Gray. How dare you do that to him? Thank you to everyone who has contributed to us. We literally, at this point, could not have done this without you. Before, like, everyone says that, like, oh, we couldn't do it without you. But now, at this point, you've actually funded us. So, thank you, everyone.
We could have done it.
We could have done it, yeah. Anyways, now, I have a little joke for everyone that I
brace yourselves.
Share.
And these are always such good jokes. We all fantastic. Laugh and laugh.
Okay. You can leave. An inquisitor was training 3 guardsmen to be his potential acolytes. Acadian, a Mordian, and a Krieger, but I don't like Krieger. I'm assuming it's like a
Kriegsman.
Kriegsman, that's
like
what
Freddy.
I said. Yeah,
nope, not Freddy.
No, Krieger, like Senpai from Archer.
Oh no!
On their final day of training, he brought them in front of 3 different doors and handed them an auto pistol each. He told them, "Beyond these doors are your wives, blindfolded and tied to a chair. To prove your loyalty to me and the Emperor, you must shoot them." The Cadian said, "Are you mad? I would never murder my own wife," and refused to enter the room. The Mordian entered his room and after a few minutes left it, saying, "No, I can't do this. I just can't." Finally, it was the Kriegsman's turn. He enters the room and returns about a half hour later. He turns to the Inquisitor and says, "The bullets were all blanks, so I had to beat her to death with a chair leg."
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So that's a pretty terrible joke. Except that Kriegsmen don't have wives.
Oh yeah, aren't they Vatborn?
Yeah. This
joke is full of plot holes.
Oh, it's, yeah. Well, is it though?
Maybe anyway. He just had a romantic relationship
with another one of his Vat brothers.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Whatever helps spur camaraderie, right? Like, but let's dive into today's episodes. Today is our 42nd episode, which is a lot. 42 episodes, I think. We released, what, 7 Tau RPG episodes?
Some. There's
like
some amount.
7 bonus episodes, so.
Wow.
It was a couple hours for you guys to listen to.
But it's never enough.
Of course, God, not.
We just get emails every day. When are you going to do this episode? When are you going to do this episode?
We're going to talk about Comblat Blades specifically. That's funny. We've never gotten that. Today we are talking about space travel in 40K, or crossing the void, as it were.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through like the major races that exist on tabletop for 40K, and we're going to talk about what it takes for them to traverse the galaxy,
yeah.
If they even can.
Most races have kind of 2 types of travel. You got like your system-to-system travel, and then you got kind of like your planet-to-planet travel. And usually those 2 types of things require different, like, different technology. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. The one thing I really enjoyed when doing this is learning about each one of them and how it's not like Star Wars or Star Trek where every race uses the same thing. Like Star Wars, everyone uses hyperdrive. Star Trek, everyone uses warp drives. Each race has its own.
Star Treks have warp drives?
That's what they call it. It's not actually.
They create a warp field.
Yeah.
It's different.
A little different, but they all have warp drives.
Do they travel in the warp?
No.
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 They are
warped.
Is there
a warp in Star Trek? That's all.
I think the warp is spreading. It's spreading to other universes. Before long, Star Wars will be like, what is this crazy thing that's just like random craps coming at him?
The Force is the warp.
Oh my god.
Because it resides in everything, you know?
But yeah, okay, it's pretty neat to see like how each one kind of has their own way of doing it.
And they are extremely unique.
Yeah, too, some of them
which
are.
Which is very nice.
Yeah.
Because it gives a lot of flavor.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting to discuss at the end which ones are the most effective.
Yeah, it's
based on all the scientific research.
Of course,
exactly.
On the,
yeah, for sure.
We have pages and pages of numbers.
Right,
that
we'll run some. We'll run some experiments and we'll do some math. Yeah.
We'll do some calculus.
By the end of this podcast, all the simulations will be done. So,
and hey, bada boom, bada
bing. It's that new computer we got. It's really fast. It can run those simulations super quick.
Well, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Anyways, it's about $700 fast.
Yeah. Let's talk about our very first race, which is Necrodudes.
So, like, we've done a bunch of Tau stuff, and now this is your chance to shine the spotlight back on your Necron.
Well, you literally... like picked the worst episode to highlight Tau.
Yeah. Every episode is the worst.
No, like this is the worst topic.
Oh,
to highlight.
Oh,
Tau.
Yes.
It's like, oh, let's talk about how fast Tau are at traversing the galaxy. Spoiler alert: they're not.
Oh.
Anyways, let's talk about Necron first.
So much for their advanced technology.
Bunch of idiots.
Bunch of morons. So we kind of broke the Necron's ability to travel in like three ways. And the first one we're going to talk about is Dolmen Gates. Wow. Could you please put your phone on silent?
James? Oh my God. That is so rude.
I thought
whoever
it went without
that.
Saying.
Why are you texting Eric's mother?
She sent me something. I had to respond immediately to.
So Dolmen Gates.
I might have to leave for a few minutes, guys. Take care of something.
Oh my.
Dolmen Gates. Dolmen Gates are a Necron's way of breaking a hole into the webway. These portals allow the Necron to access pathways through the galaxy once given to the Eldar. So the Eldar were like the main holders of the webway, and the Necron were able to like drill into these tunnels and able to access the webway.
Yeah. Because normally webways, I would imagine you have to have psychic powers to open a webway gate. Necron don't have it, so they need a different way to get into it.
Not only that, but you have to like go to a webway gate if you're unable to create a webway gate.
Yeah, know where it's at and stuff. And yeah. So anytime these Dolmen Gates breach the walls of the webway, it seeks to repair itself as if it's under attack. So the Necron have to be extremely quick to escape the webway before it seals back up again.
Yeah, so it just like kind of adds a dangerous aspect to using these gates for Necron. It's just the fact that there's risk involved. So it's one of the reasons why these aren't great. These Dolmen Gates were originally used by the Burning One, who was a Satan at the time of the War in Heaven. So he actually, it was like his dream or whatever to lead the Necron into the webway to destroy the Eldar. Because that was one of the last bastions they had against the Necron after the Necron were kind of scourging the galaxy. Was they had like the safety of the webway, and then this guy came along and was like, nah, dog, we can get in there. We can get in there.
Just raw dog it in.
It's a translation.
Yes.
From binary to...
They don't speak binary.
Yeah, they do. I'm pretty sure, right? 1100?
Yeah, they're robots.
Yeah.
They would have to.
So no other way.
This was the Satan. He's called the Burning One, and he was the first one to like either make or use the Dolmen Gates. That one was a little tough to find out.
Yeah.
But the bad thing is that most of the Dolmen Gates are actually missing or destroyed at this point.
Yeah.
So they are an extremely rare thing for a Necron to have, but not only that, they're dangerous to use just because...
you get trapped in the webway.
Yeah, you get trapped in the webway because the webway will try to fix the hole in its side? Skin?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm trying to picture how these things work. So is it like a big portal, or is it a big physical gate?
It makes me think of like Stargate Atlantis and how they have like that portal that like people walk through. I've never even fucking seen the show.
Okay, so it's an actual structure.
I'd imagine, yeah, it would be.
Interesting. Because the Necron aren't psychic.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's my question. If they died in the webway, would they get transported back?
I'd say probably not. They're like in a different dimension.
It's a different dimension, yeah.
So if you wanted to kill Necron permanently, you lure them into the webway?
Yeah.
Maybe.
With candy.
Yeah. Course. What else would they, what a binary speaking robot want?
Yeah, maybe they can't phase out once they're in there just because it's a different. Now, Necron, and we're going to get to this later, like, they are familiar with, like, other dimensions and, like, traveling to them. But I think this is just, the Webway isn't just another dimension. It's also, like, a psychically tuned thing. And the Necrons just have never been able to manufacture something, yeah, like, capable of replicating, like, access to the Webway, which is why they're not creating more Dolmen gates.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, it is, like, a static thing. Like, it actually is, like, a giant gate just because it's able to be destroyed or lost. So it's not just, like, if it was, like, somebody with, like, a power to create it, you can't really lose that.
Right. Yeah, because you just take that person with you. Okay. Yeah. Or you could replicate that power.
Yeah.
Mm. So they're not building new ones. They're just using existing ones.
Yeah.
Built by Satan?
Yeah.
Either the Satan built them or the Satan were the first to show the Necron how to use them. Yeah. That's a little unclear.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, it's kind of cool. It just rips a hole in the webway.
Yeah. Webway. And the webway does have, like, naturally occurring exits and, like, flows to itself. Yeah. So then they would just go and shoot out another end of the webway.
Yeah.
Like a one-way ticket. You know, you can't enter back into that thing. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that Necron used to travel across the galaxy. But I don't understand why they use it.
Why not?
When they have inertialist drives, which effectively allow them to teleport.
Yeah.
So let's talk about inertialist drives.
All Necron void ships use this. And basically, what it does is it reduces the mass of your ship while preserving the power of thrust. These ships also use stasis for their passengers.
Which doesn't make sense.
No. But basically, you can take like a billion-pound starship and make it essentially weightless, as light as a feather, and then if you even flick it, it fucking flies, right? So then you attach a huge fucking engine on it, and you
capable of producing like megatons worth of thrust.
Yeah. And now you're really cooking with science.
Yeah. So an inertialist drive that the Necrons have effectively allow them to travel at much faster than light speed.
Yeah, and safely,
in
too.
In complete safety.
Yeah.
Because this isn't using the warp.
No, right. No, this is pure technology.
Pure science.
What would happen if you hit something, though? You'd have to make sure you don't run into anything on the way.
It would be like Star Wars, like when they do their hyperdrive.
Yeah,
when
they
navigate, like you gotta calculate it.
Because you're still existing in space.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So if you ran into something, you'd rip your ship in half. Yeah. So there is maybe,
I guess that is
some risk to it.
Well, okay, so they no longer can teleport, but they just make a bunch of tiny jumps. But another thing is because they're inertialist, there's no such thing as momentum. So you can go one way and flip around and turn the other at zero cost. And you go the same speed. So, like, sure, they might have to course correct and turn.
Right, but that wouldn't even be a big deal.
No, it's not.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's actually a really cool way of doing space travel. It's very different than other methods proposed in, like, any other universe I've heard
of. There's a lot of unique ones.
Yeah, but another thing about this is that, like, all Necron ships use stasis.
Yeah.
It's, like, something that they're really known for is, like, these massive crypts on their ships that, like, Necrons sleep in. But it doesn't really make much sense. Like, what's the need for sending things in, like, their warriors into stasis when they have the ability to move as quickly as these inertialist drives do?
Yeah. Well, technically, even if you're moving at the speed of light, it still takes a while to get across the universe, right? Because doesn't it still take light hundreds and hundreds of years to get across the galaxy anyway?
I mean, basically immortal.
That's another thing. They are immortal.
And they can repair themselves,
Maybe they get bored easily and they're just like, I don't want to sit in this ship for so long.
It definitely could be that, right? It's like, you know, like in Star Wars, like those things that go crashing on Naboo and they're like they just have like row upon row
Copy Strike.
Robots.
Copy Strike.
What are those robots called?
Droid Dakars.
Roger, roger. No.
Battle droids.
Those are just battle droids?
Sure, why not? Who cares what they call them?
But that's the image I kind of get when I think of like Necron being in stasis, just tightly packed in to like these small areas.
Right.
And I think it's like less of, there's no need for them to go into actual stasis. I think it's just like a packing and moving thing. Instead of having...
Sure, you need less space to store all your warriors.
Instead of having hundreds of thousands of Necrons just constantly like standing and milling around and like looking at each other, they're just packed tightly and tightly in. And then at that same time, they just are like, well, there's no reason for you to be powered up, so power down.
Yeah.
So right. It's not stasis because they need to like preserve life or anything.
Yeah.
For me, it's merely a packing.
Sure.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're robots. They don't need leisure.
No. There might be an out-of-universe explanation as well. For the last couple editions, there's been speculation that this inertialist drive didn't even exist. So this is a throwback from Necron before they became the Necron they are today. Like, there's like the two sides of the Necron where they're all soulless warriors controlled by the Satan. And then they did that huge fluff change where now they're kind of, they got their lords with personality and they actually control the Satan. So we didn't hear anything about this inertialist drive for 6th edition or 5th edition, 6th edition, 7th edition. And recently they've come out with a couple games like Battlefield Gothic. Yeah, where they actually mention this again. So they actually do have this technology. There's a couple other resources out there too.
Where do you mean Battlefield, the second one? The one that just came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple other references that have come out like just super recently. So before this, they introduced like the Necron having these giant spaceships that were super slow.
And they were tomb ships.
Yeah, and that's where they needed the stasis from because they didn't have this super quick teleporting technology. They literally just had to float across the galaxy, so they needed the stasis.
Yeah, just for preserve systems and stuff.
But now that the inertialist drive is for sure back, but they never removed the stasis tombs, it's kind of one of those things where...
Mm.
Take your pick.
Well... You don't take your pick. You take both of them.
Oh, it could be that some Necron ships don't have these inertialist drives.
Yeah, it might be a rare resource. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, what do they know? This is all just information the Imperium has. So maybe maybe some Joe thought they had inertialist drives and they don't.
It could be. You know,
they
could
easily retcon it that way. So.
Oh my god.
No, don't give them the freedom.
I've solved all of Games Workshop's riddles.
Really. All of them.
There is another way that Necron travels through the galaxy, and this is in the use of wormholes. So the interesting thing here is that with monoliths and night scythes, if you're a Necron player, you know what these are for, but I'll just describe it to you. A Necron army on the tabletop, you can place warriors or immortals outside of the board, and then a monolith or a night scythe can effectively deep strike these guys in. As like it, they function like a transport, but the Necron are never actually in the transport.
Yeah,
they're described as being potentially off-world.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and so I just figured like, oh, they had some kind of like, you know, short range teleportation technology, until I found out how they actually work. So what happens is night scythes and monoliths actually carry wormholes inside of them.
Makes sense.
And then, yeah, and they use these dimensional corridors created by these wormholes that they carry to instantly transport troops from off-world. So this is like Necron technology at like a cool pinnacle moment, is that Necron have like effectively mastered dimensional travel through wormholes.
And moving wormholes as well.
Yeah, the Night Scythe literally has a wormhole, like a captive wormhole inside of its ship. And then it'll allow the wormhole to open, and then the warriors just come like streaming down from it.
So how far of a distance can they use this thing?
I mean, it's a wormhole. It can stretch like galaxies.
Really? Yeah, potentially. Sure.
That's insane.
Yeah.
The only con to using this, though, is you have to already have a Necron at the location. Mm-hmm. So
a Necron ship.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to have the monolith or the night scythe already there.
So you have to get it there.
Theoretically, they could just fire these things off to planets and just like, oh, we'll invade that in 100 years when it gets there. And then
absolutely.
Start pouring out.
Wormhole that just, yeah.
And then when they're done, maybe everyone can go back in the wormhole. Like, there's no tabletop rule that says that's okay. But
they would have night scythes at their original location that they came from, which would open a wormhole there, and then they're just...
Well, it's all about, like, can you, like... A wormhole is, like, has to have two ends to function, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be the black and the white hole. So
whoa.
Yeah.
I like to refer to them as back and front hole, personally. But,
but yeah, so it's a question of are they able to just create like the entrances to these wormholes, like wherever they are, and then so it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
but,
it's wild.
But
it's,
they do use wild, yeah.
Well, you could just imagine it as like there's a what is it? The big pyramid thing.
Monolith, sorry.
There's a monolith on both ends and they just run into it on one side and come out the other one.
It very well could be that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you think a monolith can enter its own wormhole? Oh my God.
Just implode itself.
Oh,
come out as just a hunk of metal on the other side.
How safe is rebuild this motor? Because it's not safe. Using the warp, right? No, it's just bending it's, real space-time, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Super safe.
Yeah.
Almost everything, like, if it's regular technology, the Necron have mastered it.
Yeah, yeah, like, their technology is so crazy that it's considered, like, magic.
Yeah.
Like, you...
Well, yeah, it breaks physics.
It
doesn't
exactly.
even make any sense.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't. It almost is the most science fictiony of all the things that happen in 40K because it seems to be like, oh, we're using wormholes. It's not necessarily established science now, but it's like things we talk about in real science now. So I feel it's, like they try and made those like they just mastered these things. In real science,
it's things we like theoretically like to believe that are possible, but that these guys have actually made possible. Yeah. But they were like. Necron are also known for like bending reality and reshaping it to their will, which is just, even though it's complete science to them, like there's no magic involved at all. Yeah. There's no risk. It's just math and numbers and physics. And anyways.
Ones and zeros.
Oh my God. Zeros and ones.
And there's one final thing we want to talk about with Necrons, and that is death marks and flayed ones.
Yeah, so death marks are known to open up pocket dimensions and hide in them, and then during a battle they come out of these pocket dimensions and like start shooting up everything.
Yeah, in a even though like they've been watching this battle the whole time, you just had no idea you were there because they existed outside of reality.
Yeah, but for these guys, they have to be at the location to open up that pocket dimension to go into it. But there's another unit called flayed ones that also use pocket dimensions. Except these ones don't have to be in that location. They literally can open up pocket dimensions from their home world. Do you remember what it's called?
I don't know, but it is. They
it's not really a home world, but
they have like what is considered like a Flayed One dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. They open up that, and then they can appear anywhere in the galaxy that Necron are. So maybe even they're coming through like somehow they connect to like the Deathmarked pocket dimensions.
Yeah, those two different like pockets of reality could conceivably be related.
A lot of this is like Games Workshop does not tell you exactly how it happens because you can't really say how it happens. Like,
yeah, because any kind of like science they try to bring to bear will just like will sound ridiculous.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But
so it's kind of better that they leave that unknown element of it, so you have to speculate. But so Necron are capable of like creating pocket dimensions, going in there and hiding. They can see like the real world around them, but they don't exist.
They're like Frodo in the Ring.
Well, not really, because Frodo you could interact with while he's invisible.
I guess.
Whereas these guys,
your eyes,
like these guys, you could slip right through them and you would never know they're there because they're not. They exist somewhere else.
There's another movie reference I'm sure I could make to make that
Matrix.
But the flayed ones.
God.
The flayed ones are actually capable of
traveling
seemingly
galaxy.
Teleporting within these dimensions.
Yeah.
So.
But for all we know, they open up a pocket dimension and literally start walking across the galaxy
Who
and
knows?
It takes some 50 million years.
Who knows?
That's crazy, though.
Who knows, man? Yeah. It's wild. So yeah, that's kind of how they get around the Necron. They have also just like regular like engines as well that, you know, once they get into a system, they use their regular engine to kind of, you know, orbit a planet or
whatever.
But
it's all energy.
It's all energy,
you know,
not, it's not combustion.
Not burning,
fossil fuels.
Yeah.
It's not fossil fuels for sure. But I don't know if they ever really do say about like what kind of energy it actually is, how they go about doing it. So they just do it.
It's just Gauss
energy.
Gauss.
All right, let's talk about the Eldar and the Dark Eldar because they function very similar to one another. So obviously the big thing you've heard us mention many times is the Eldar and the Dark Eldar use the Webway. we've gone into the webway so many times. So the warp and the webway and there's tunnels, but the webway is a safe corridor through the warp created by the old ones and is primarily used by the Eldar. This method of transportation is the primary method for the Eldar.
Yeah, so like this is the one, like the way they get around systems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you were saying before, like, why would the Necron ever go into the webway? Maybe they were pursuing Eldar. Because like the Eldar are like basically the ones who use the webway, and if they run into that every time they see Necron, which they might.
The Necron also just have a hatred for the Eldar, right?
So they might just specifically want to go after them.
Yeah.
But then that could lead to their doom because they can't necessarily phase back. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. We don't know about that.
What is the strength?
That's not proven.
What's the strength of their hatred?
74.
Oh my god.
We've done episodes. If you have any specific questions about like how the webway works, let us know. We'll send you a link to an episode that we've already done.
Or we'll just answer it.
Like we talked about it so many times.
Yeah.
But the one thing we haven't really talked about is how the Elder move from planet to planet once they're already in the system, and that they use solar sails. So there's kind of two theories around how solar sails work. We're going to start with the one that is less likely. The anti-gravity theory.
Okay, so the anti-grav tech of the Eldar allows them to push off the gravity of large space bodies such as stars and planets. So if you think about like something that's floating like right above the surface of a planet, like the Atreus, like Astrius, I don't know, like the new Primaris vehicles, right? They like they float off the ground.
Cause why not say an Eldar vehicle?
Sure.
Because we're using Eldar.
Sure, let's do an Eldar vehicle. I was looking at James. He Eldar. Plays the Primaris.
I don't know why you're like bring up that random thing. You could just say the Repulsor, which is like a much easier word.
Repulsors.
Wave serpents.
Okay.
Wave serpents.
So when you think of like what those do, like they hover above ground because they're pushing off the gravity of the planet, like they literally like they make the gravity like a physical force, and they are able to push themselves off of it.
Exactly.
So it works. It just works.
Science.
But what they've done is that they've made that on a massive scale.
Yeah, where they literally will use a sun's gravity and push off that, because the sun's gravity is crazy. Like think about Earth. We're like orbiting the sun because of its gravity. It has that much pull. Mm-hmm. Or push, pull, push.
But what about, suck. I mean, there's so much space between solar systems, though.
And that's why this only works with, we believe, within a solar system.
And then anytime
they want to move, they would just use the webway.
Yeah. Mm. And the farther you get away from the sun, the less, like, push you'll be able to get. And also, like, if you're trying to go towards the sun or, like, turn yourself around and stuff, it kind of gets awkward because... Like, to go left and right, there's nothing really to push off of, you know? Right.
Yeah, you might have to use, like, other bodies within the system to, like, angle yourself. Yeah. So that's kind of, like, our understanding of this anti-gravity.
Yeah. So that's the less likely theory. The more likely theory, and this is kind of, like, I'm doing air quotes, like, how real-life solar sails would work, and it's the radiation theory. So the Elder ships literally have these giant, they're essentially sails. Like, it looks like they have giant sails. And it
like Treasure Planet.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
And this functions as a typical solar sail fashion, using the solar radiation to power its engines. Regardless of the function, the problem is the same. The further away you are from the sun, the less energy you're able to get.
And if you're like behind a planet, then you're like kind of boned.
Yeah. You might, like, so, you hope you have enough energy stored up in your stuff so you can get it. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the radiation literally pushes. It's not so much that it gathers the engines or gathers energy to power engines. It literally. Yeah,
but wouldn't that mean as soon as you are like outside of like sunlight, or radiation, you can't move at all?
But well, in space, you still have momentum, right? Unlimited momentum.
Sure. So like you might have momentum to crash you into an asteroid, and they have no corrective measures.
They still do have corrective measures, like they'll have thrusters or whatever. But
It doesn't seem very good.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Especially compared to inertialess drive.
Yeah, yeah.
But even compared to like human stuff, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's green. It's green energy.
No one gives a shit about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
You never heard of the Green New Deal? Lots of people give shits about
the Green New Deal.
Don't worry about it. Oh, that's not, some people will get it. Others won't.
I don't get it.
That's fine.
It's okay.
AOC?
Let's never say that, though. I don't call Eric whatever the initials of his fucking name is. People say AOC are fucked. Eric is so confused.
Time to move on. All right.
Some American politics.
Let's read.
People like green energy. That's all I'm saying.
No one in 40K cares.
The Eldar. If anyone were to, that would be the Eldar. Yeah. They seem like they'd be like, I want to protect this environment that I'm in. That makes the most sense. Like, the humans don't give a damn. They'll like, exterminatus the crap out of anything they want to. But, like, the Eldar would be like, oh, I want to make this garden so beautiful. Oh, God.
Wearing their little beaded necklace and stuff.
Naked, probably.
Yeah, just seashell necklace. Oh, boy. Yeah, so they use solar sails. Eldar also have warp drives. And we'll talk a lot more about this at the end of the episode. But the Eldars use the warp drive as like a last resort.
The main reason being
they don't have Geller fields, and we'll talk more about that. Yeah. What that is
will become very clear at the end.
But this
that's a last resort for them.
Yeah,
they will never use that unless they absolutely have.
Yeah, like their solar sails are wrecked. They can't get access to a webway. Like
all their psychers are dead. Yeah. So that means all the Eldar are dead.
Yeah. Perfect. I like this future you've created.
There are no Eldar.
All right, next. Let's talk about the Tau.
Oh, nice. This is the best
big
race
topic
ever.
Big topic right here.
Super important. Lots of innovations within this one. Mm-hmm.
It's because they're smarter than everyone else. All that technology they got.
Yep. Oh, they're better at tabletop, too, than everybody else.
Okay.
Okay. You want to play again, Mark?
Oh, yeah, buddy. The Tau fleet is called the Kor Vatra and is crewed only by the Kor or the Aircast.
Kind of makes sense. They have, well, this is like an older engine that they had.
They still use this.
They
engine.
Still use it, but it's not. It comes from a much earlier time, so probably like 500 years ago, right?
Yeah.
No. So this is called the Gravitic Drive, and this is actually probably one of my favorite ones.
Very, very unique.
The system works by placing a gravity field ahead of the ship, which then pulls the ship forward, and then the gravity field is then placed further ahead of the ship, and then that ship is then pulled after that. And so it's constantly placing like mass and gravity ahead of itself and being pulled further towards that mass.
Yeah. So weird. I don't know how you do that.
It's so cool. Like they just project a field in front of them.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's wild.
It's such a cool thing though. Yeah. That's never even entered my mind.
To just be pulled by gravity.
Yeah. Like, the bouncing on it makes sense. And latching onto things like what we'll talk about with Tyranids, that makes sense, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But this, like, creation of an artificial gravity field in front of you is really cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Low impact.
Yeah.
That's green. And
then, you see, the Tau would be second. They're the second most likely to care about that. That makes sense to me. Because it's, you know, all that greater good ecology crap.
The problem with this drive is it's extremely slow compared to anything else out there.
Yeah,
and it's not actually extremely slow. It's just slow compared to warp travel or inertialess drives or the webway.
Yeah.
So,
because they probably can only generate so much energy to create so much of a gravity field, so they can only go so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they got a way around it.
The ZFR Horizon Accelerator
just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Just imagine saying that in Tau speak.
Oh my god.
There's a
god.
Bunch of fucking apostrophes just thrown in there randomly.
So I got to fire.
What the hell?
That's how you pronounce it in Tau. I looked it up.
I think you're possessed.
What was it? I missed it.
Nah, it's a one-time deal. I can't say it ever again.
If you were listening, that's your fault.
Yeah, well, you can replay it if you want. Just go over that over and over again. Put you to sleep at night.
So this was originally an alien race's warp engine, which the Tau were able to replicate for their own ships.
Yeah, so they found like a warp drive, because this is a warp drive.
Yeah.
And they capable of like entering the warp and going like warp speed.
Yeah.
But so they found it, reverse engineered it, and then
multiplied. Did they say what alien race they took this from?
They don't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Probably like the a Pachtroon type race. One of those races that met an
maybe
unfortunate
that was
end.
Why they ended up killing the Pachtroons.
The thing is, like, you know, it's a race that's psychic capable.
Yeah.
Because if you aren't psychic capable, warp drives just don't work for you.
I don't know about that. What? The warp drive is literally technology that rips a hole into warp.
Not according to the ZFR Horizon Accelerator and why it never fully worked for the Tau.
That's just because Tau suck.
It could be that, or it could be why Games Workshop says it doesn't work. So they found this drive. They initially tried to activate this drive on their ships, but it was disastrous because the Tau could not produce any psyker to create a link to the drive. So what they say is that there was no Tau capable of activating the drive, and that it does require, like, psychic energy.
And the thing is, this alien race might have made it that way, but, like, Imperial warp drives, they don't need a psyker to use it.
Yeah, you could easily say that it's just specific to whatever race they
exactly.
got.
Exactly,
yeah.
And I think that's definitely what the case is.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, because you're literally just opening a rip in real space somehow.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on how that drive functions.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. but that
like
would
there's
make
a switch internally that only a psyker can flick that switch.
Yeah,
and the Tau couldn't.
All that would mean is that the Tau just have to take like an Imperial warp drive, and now they have warp capability.
Yeah, I think what happened is this kind of just scared them away from warp technology
in
general.
Didn't, because they still use it.
But like they only do partial things. They have tons.
They do as much as they can.
They have tons of Xenos races that have warp travel capabilities, and they do not use it. They do not like the warp.
I don't think that's like a good enough reason. Like I can't see that being the reason because they do use this, and this does enter the warp.
Well, then why wouldn't they just use some of the humans that they have
exactly.
in their
they
country
have,
to as psychers?
Yeah, like they actively do not want to use warp travel, and they want to use it very limited.
That's not it.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Because
where does it say that the Tower is scared of the warp?
They don't
have the technology.
They don't understand it. They can't relate to it. They do not like the warp.
Okay. We have evidence of Tau finding a drive.
Here we go, everyone. Lock yourself in. We're going in.
We have evidence of Tau finding a drive, reverse engineering it, and recreating it.
Yeah.
And then it just, they were the missing particle in it. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Right? But nowhere in there does it say, like, oh, like, we got so nervous that we're just not trying
not
it anymore.
Not in that sentence, but when you know, like, the rest of the Tau lore, they don't like warp technology.
Where?
Why wouldn't they just use humans? Because they have humans in their country.
Nikasar or any of the other.
The Tau, they don't have a warp presence? Is that how it works?
They have a minimal one.
And it's so minimal, though, that Chaos also leaves them alone. If anything, warp travel is safe for them.
But maybe it's has something to do with. What happens if you don't have a presence and you go into the warp? Maybe it doesn't. Nothing happens.
No, the Tau can go into the warp.
Oh, they can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like the warp. The hole just has to be ripped open.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So if human craft are capable of creating, and if anyone can just press a button and create this hole in the warp, then it does not seem to me. That it's like viable because there's no way Tau wouldn't have done that.
They're afraid of the warp, man.
I don't understand why wouldn't, if they have humans potentially and then potentially human psychers,
they do.
Why don't they use them to run these machines?
That's a good question.
Because they're afraid of the warp.
No, because
I am telling you, Eric, they do not like the warp.
The Tau don't like anyone
Sometimes
else.
Sometimes we get into these conversations where I know I'm right, and I know you're wrong.
Please show me. Please. Anyways.
No, we're in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah, find it. The reason, one of the reasons the Tau don't use anything is because they have their very specific caste system. Right?
Sure.
And everyone has a place and everyone has a thing. You don't see like armies of humans fighting within Tau. They function separately. And the Tau even consistently use auxiliaries as like a bait. Like they don't bait Tau. They use
Yes, they do! They have a whole fucking strategy on using
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah. Fucking Tao to bait!
They use their auxiliaries.
This is what happens when we talk about Tao.
No, this is what happens when Eric doesn't know about the Tao. Then he's talking to a guy who loves the Tao more than anything in the world. Give me some Tao.
When you look at the two strategies that they have for war, and they talk about the bait one, they say they will use auxiliaries before they use anything else.
But that doesn't mean that they don't use Tao.
If they're like, man, the best way to do this is to use our bait strategy, and we don't have any auxiliaries to give up, we will sacrifice ourselves.
I'm just curious.
I never say that.
I'm just curious why they wouldn't pull in. Okay, we need to travel faster.
I don't think
faster.
They trust anyone other than themselves. And I think that's the main problem. Like,
okay, well...
They don't allow other things to, like, help them in their manufacturing
all right,
as well.
I'm okay with either one of those answers. I will choose the middle room.
A fear of the warp doesn't... Like, I've not read that
I would
that
be afraid
anywhere.
Of the warp.
But they still use it, right? So in this ZFR Horizon Accelerator, like, they can't enter the warp fully because they can't create some kind of link with each other, but they still enter the warp with this thing. And when Mark and I were talking about this episode earlier, it functions like putting a ball, like, full of air underwater and then letting go of that ball, and it just shoots out, right? Because, like, the air and the ball wants to get out of the water,
sure.
So it, like, accelerates itself. And that's how this one works. It, like, dips into the warp, and then the warp wants to reject it because it's not creating a strong enough link or something, because we don't know exactly how that works, and then it rejects the ship and shoots the ship back out, and then the ship dives into the warp again, and the warp rejects it, shoots it out, and that's, like, the idea of, like, a Tao skipping stone. So it, like, dips into the warp, comes out, dips in, comes out, dips in, comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's interesting.
They aren't scared of going into the warp.
That's
they
a
literally
super,
do it.
It's a super cool, interesting... way
it's
of travel like I like it's cool it's an interesting
it is, what's cool is that they found a way to make it work.
Could it maybe be why they don't want to fully go in is because they don't have like a Geller field or
yeah and they don't have psychers to protect them.
Okay, well
they don't understand
maybe that's
sure
why they like
say.
To bounce
for
maybe
sure. Well no, because they can't, they've tried and this is as much as they were able to do with this engine. So I think having that not having that protection is a big deal. But if you get an Imperial ship with a warp drive, it's also going to have a Geller field. And if both of these things, as Mark said, are just technology that anyone can activate, how on earth could the Tao not replicate that as well?
Because bad Games Workshop writing.
No, because I'm surprised. In everything I've read, you needed a psychic ability to create a warp drive. Eldar have to create warp rifts in order to... Well, not warp rifts, but they need psychic people capable of opening and closing webway portals.
Can Necron enter the warp?
No, they have no way to do it.
So maybe...
They have no way to stop the warp.
So maybe
either.
That makes more sense then that you do need to be a psyker. Because
that's what I had always thought.
The Necron have all the technology, basically. And if they can't get in...
Yeah, and they can't even recreate these Dolmen gates, which are capable of burrowing into the webway, which
so
isn't even the warp.
It does make sense to me that you would need some sort of psychic capability.
Know,
well, no, the way you're explaining it, though, and the way that, like, why can't Necron do it? Well, they're just pure machines and they have no psychic capabilities.
But even Tao, like...
And Satan have some sort of alternative psychic abilities, so maybe...
Like it's still not psychic. It's
sure,
still
but like,
in...
it would make more sense why only a Satan could, like, do these Dolmen things, maybe. Or, like, know about them or figure it out.
Like,
so that makes more... It makes more sense what you're throwing out there. I can see that, like, you need this psychic ability
I like
to use.
You don't, though. You don't need a psychic ability to open a warp gate with a warp drive, because that is what a warp drive does.
Okay.
Go read!
What about this as a theory? Okay, so the Tao don't have a psychic presence, and
it's extremely minimal.
Right,
they have souls and they do exist within the warp, but they're so small, no one picks up on
them. But you could probably assume that since they don't have a strong presence in the warp, that they don't really understand it, and they probably can't really comprehend it that well.
For
and
sure, 100%.
Being the leaders of the greater good, maybe they just want to avoid what they don't understand.
That's a weird thing to me, because yes and no, like. they truly tried to enter the warp, and they to disastrous. Like they said, they kept dying as they were trying to do it, and this was as good as they could possibly get. I think if they were able to do it,
maybe they have some sort of they have some, because they have these tiny souls, they just can't exist in the warp too.
They can. Yeah, they definitely
not for a long time or something, maybe.
So if you put Tau on an Imperial ship, though,
they'll be fine.
They'll be fine for all eternity.
But there's also Galafiels.
Well, yeah, but it's a
Okay, the solution is, I don't know what's going on here.
No one knows.
I don't know what's happening.
People are yelling.
I'm no one's yelling.
Mommy and Daddy are yelling, and it's scary.
That's fun. That's a good time. Sometimes I get all worked up when I'm talking to the fans, so I'm fucking yelling at these random people I've never met.
I think Tau brings out the worst in you guys as well.
Oh yeah, there's a lot
we
of
just have really different views on that.
Yeah. It's funny.
And on the greater good as well.
Well, yeah, that one is also pretty open to interpretation.
Oh my god. Just imagine if I was playing the Tau RPG and not just GMing it. Oh, that would have been okay. So you pretty much told how that drive worked?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, perfect. Next one. Let's read about Tyranids. Because we reached a consensus.
Did we?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh.
I reached my own. You reached your own.
We have consensuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, just before we step into the Tyranids, if you can find something for us that we've missed about Tau... stuff. It's always cool to find people that like agree or disagree and why they think, because a lot of times people just like bring in another point and another point.
So or they read some random book somewhere that we haven't read.
Or some weird like Reddit post that explain everything. I'm not on Reddit, so I don't give a shit about it. But I'll read it if you bring it up to me. Anyways, but let us know if you have... I am too good for Reddit. Let us know if you have anything else on Tau space and warp drives and stuff.
Now we're just gonna get flooded with like, oh, they can't do it. They can't even. They're a minor spacefaring race. They can't even traverse the galaxy. They only have seven planets.
That's true. They only have seven planets.
It's gonna be good.
Let's talk about Tyranids.
Tyranids.
We did do an entire episode on Hive fleets.
Yeah.
But kind of like a little area section of it. We talked about spaceflight. So if you want like a more complete thing about Hive fleets in total. Listen to the episode 28.
Because what's unique about Tyranids is all Tyranids are actually living organizations.
They are also organizations.
Where, like, you know, the Eldar have, like, this, like, the web way where it's, like, it's not an Eldar.
Right.
So, yeah. So, listen to episode 28.
Yes.
But what's important is the Tyranids have an organism that can fly around in space, and it's called a... Narval.
It's the Scandinavian way of pronouncing narwhal.
Oh.
To say narval.
Narval.
This organism is capable of locking onto the gravity of a planet from immense distances.
Like across the galaxy distances. So like these can sense gravity from immeasurable things. Like it should be impossible, but they can.
Hmm. And then they are somehow able to create a corridor of compressed space for the entire fleet to travel through, like a slipstream.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. Like, they latch on to, like, this gravity signal from a planet, which is so far away. And then, like, they're latching on, and the planet's gravity meet, and they just create, like, this tunnel that, like, the whole... Tyranid fleet goes through.
Science is fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's biology at this point.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of biology, guys. Anyone can do it.
And when they enter the system, so they go into the slipstream. But when they enter the
system, all the fleet enters. Yeah, like the whole fleet does. Massive ships, everything.
The slipstream ends, and the fleet now has to use conventional fuel for intersystem travel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what it is
flagellum.
The narwhal is like so sensitive in its ability is that it gets too close to the planet and then like something happens to it and it can't create the slipstream anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of like I don't know really how to describe it, but mm-hmm. yeah, like it could be that the planet...
It's too much interference. Like,
yeah, that's what,
like,
it says.
Or just it feels it too strongly. It's like looking at a really bright light.
That's, interference, bright lights. That makes sense. Because, like, now you're close to a bunch of other planets.
The sun, even.
Yeah. Could be, like, multiple suns close to it. Yeah. So there's just too much around it. But sometimes, like, they'll get close enough for the next bit to only take a couple of years. But also sometimes it could take decades.
Yeah. If it was an abnormally large planet, you know,
Too much interference around it, like, they might have to exit the slipstream decades before they actually reach the planet.
Oh, interesting.
But what's wild is, so it locks onto this planet, and it literally wrecks the planet that it's locked onto, because it, like, pulls its gravity. So then, like, the planet that's locked onto starts getting, like, volcanoes and, like, earthquakes and stuff.
Tidal waves everywhere.
Yeah, because it's literally, like, pulling its gravity somehow.
Crazy.
Yeah. So the planet will get a period of, like, this crazy shift in, like, their planet geography.
Seismic activity.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then it'll all end all of a sudden, because the narwhal will get into a system. And they'll be like, oh, we're fine. We made it. And then 10 years will go by. And then a whole tiered fleet shows up. Just as you rebuilt everything.
Well, Mark was saying it was really funny. He's like, when the planet is undergoing its massive seismic activity and everything is getting thrown away, that's when the Gene Stealer cult rises into power.
Probably,
and they use the chaos of everything that's happening to, like, seize power from the planet.
And they probably, like, chalk it up to, like, the four-armed god is angry at us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my.
And then, yeah, you know.
They get put in power, and then all of a sudden...
all the activity stops. Right. Exactly.
Welcome to another episode of Tyranids are OP.
That's just so cool.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But this mode of travel, the narwhal, it seems sort of slow compared to some of the other...
Yes, it is more slow than every other one.
Except for Tau.
Yeah. It doesn't really describe how fast it is compared to, like, light.
Yeah.
But...
You know, though, that's almost more terrifying, to see this just thing slowly sort of approaching, you know?
There's nothing you can do.
And you can't stop it. You can't... Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could exterminatus your own planet.
Might as well.
At least stop the Tyranids from
feeding.
Anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's terrifying.
Well, that strategy has been employed before.
It has.
You know what's? Yeah, that's
hundreds of human planets.
It's kind
of
crazy because, like, it would be pretty common knowledge now in 40K that if your planet has, like, a bunch of seismic activity out of nowhere, you're locked onto by a Tyranid high fleet. Like, that planet is probably aware, depending on its level of technology, that they've been locked onto, and now they have X amount of time before.
Yeah, like a planet invaded in the Ultima Segmentum, they know.
Oh, they know. Like, oh, shit, here we go, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're just waiting, and it could be a decade of waiting, knowing at some point
the High Fleet's going to appear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, that is wild.
I'm not like that thought.
But once they've exited the slipstream, they still have to get to the planet itself. And they use gas fuel.
Yeah.
How do they use this gas fuel? I'm glad you asked. They poop it out. little toots behind them.
Yeah. It's rumored that their digestive tract or whatever, they use that gas and, like, expel it to create thrust. But it's also rumored that they will literally light that on fire to create propulsion.
Mm. Blue Angel
propulsion. Use every part of the animal.
Yeah, so it's pretty wild.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. A bunch of little gas leaks on the thing. Just bloop, bloop.
Yeah, just little clouds. Space would stink around that.
Can you smell in space? Is that a concern most people have?
I think you can for, like, a second. And then you die.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, my God. That's it. That's all you got.
Yeah, that's Tyranids. Yeah, like, that's such a crazy, unique way, like, to travel.
Ugh. The slipstream. So weird.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they, like, because they came from extragalactic, right? They did not come from within our galaxy. Mm-hmm. So, like, they locked on. They must have locked on to something in our galaxy and then used this slipstream to travel from one galaxy to another.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's quite a bit of a distance. Yeah.
It's very alien, too.
Very alien.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some orcs.
Orc.
So orcs use warp drives for their primary function, and they function very similar to the Imperial warp drive. And this is where Weird Boy will rip open a hole into the warp. I know what you're saying, Eric, but these are our written notes that you changed 2 minutes ago.
Shit, he got me.
And it also says it's very similar, but not the same. Nowhere can I read that the Imperium uses a psyker to rip open. They use a warp drive that does it. Anywho.
Hold on.
Oh, boy.
I'm not saying the psyker. I'm not saying a psyker rips open the hole. I'm saying in order to, like, affect the warp, you need a psyker to do that. And so a psyker might have to be the one that puts their hand on the warp and pours psychic energy into it, and the warp drive could be the one creating a stable rift, but the psyker is the one who's providing the power.
Nowhere does it say that.
I know, but no, it does not make any sense to me where, like, these function because very similarly to a warp drive, where a Weird Boy is needed to rip a hole.
Very similarly, but not the same.
So what's the similarity?
That they
them?
Rip a hole into the warp.
That's not similar at all. When
that's
one,
very
one,
similar.
One flicks a switch and one needs a Weird Boy. Oh my God. A stick and a gun are very similar because both of them can cause damage. They're very similar.
You're fucked. They both rip a hole into the warp. That's how they're similar, because they both literally do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
How they do it, I could throw a stick or I could kick a stick. Either way, it's fucking going
guys
somewhere.
Is metaphors, oh my God. Sticks and
simple.
Guns and kicking and whacking
I'm
with sticks.
Man.
So, oh my God.
An orb warp drive requires a Weird Boy to open a hole in the warp.
Yeah, and then the void ship will enter it. These Weird Boys will then lock onto Wog energy of the like largest Wog they can find, and they'll use it as like a beacon. Kind of like the Astronomicon that we'll get into later. Hmm. And yeah, they'll just lock onto that because they know that's where the most largest presence of orcs is, and that's where the biggest fight's going to be. Or, you know, they'll just follow their heart and just go wherever they want. Do Weird Boy things however they want to do it.
The interesting thing about orcs is that they do not have protection from chaos.
Yeah, we mentioned the Geller field before. But yeah, the orcs don't have it. So while they're in the warp for potentially, you know, months and months, they're getting invaded by demons and they're just loving it.
Having a grand old time.
A zogging good fight.
That's what I wrote down.
I like that.
Yeah. So that they use warp drives. What they also are known for, orcs are known for looting. So literally they'll use any type of anything that they can get their hands on, you know, like sometimes they might have an Eldar craft world, and they'll use that. Sometimes they might use
entire craft world with the orcs on it.
Yeah, they'll use Tal'dra. They'll use anything they want. You know, if they got a hold of a Dolmen gate, you better believe they're going to be using that. Like,
yeah.
Anything that they can get their stinky little green hands on. The best thought is, though, one of them mounts a narval, you know, like lassoes it, and is like riding in space on top of this narval.
I imagine he's dead, just like frozen in space, dead riding the narwhal.
He's still having a good time. Though,
yeah.
Even though he's dead. But yeah. Another thing that is pretty common for orcs to use are space hulks. Mm. And they're basically these like giant floating wreckage of space debris, spaceships, and whatever that like a warp drive is malfunctioning on it. So it like jumps into the warp randomly and then fuses to like other machines and other things, and then it exits the warp. So orcs will hop onto these like giant, like huge continent sized like wrecked spaceship planet things and fight on them, and then they'll jump into the warp, and then, you know, they'll fight demons and they'll pop out of the warp randomly, or they'll get to a planet, they'll invade the planet, and they, yeah, it's a Uber system, I guess, for 40k.
Ubers when they take you where you might not want to go.
Well, if you're drunk. It's like if you're drunk and you're trying to take an Uber, and every time you
and
get out.
And the Uber driver is drunk too.
Yes. And you're getting into fist fights on the way. There's a stick there, I'm sure.
But something else that orcs use are, like, we have coined NTFL or NFTL.
Not faster than light.
Yeah. So they'll also use, like, rockets, right? And big... Oh, well, I guess let's talk about other things first. Asteroids and rocks.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
Orcs will literally land on, like, an asteroid that's flying across the space, you know.
And they'll just go and
just
wait.
Go with that
just
asteroid.
Ride it.
Just ride it. Fucking moon orc things, I guess.
That's awesome.
And they'll even like build little engines onto the back of it so that they can then direct it towards a planet, and then they'll just fucking shoot it at a planet while still riding it. Yeah.
And then now the planetfall. And now we can start fighting on a planet.
Yeah. so wild.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. That's really cool.
Yeah, orcs are good. Like, such a crazy way to do things. Because they don't care where they're going, just as long as they get somewhere eventually.
It's true. All they want to do is fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they also have jet fuel, so they very much use like combustion engines to kind of get around. Like you know,
you see it on their copters and their bikes and their trucks and stuff. So
yeah.
But hey, there's nothing wrong with them putting a friggin' warp drive on that truck and making it work.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That warp truck is fast.
Their fastest land speed is definitely some orc strapped a warp drive onto
to himself.
He strapped an inertialess drive to
himself. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Someone just punched him.
Absolutely.
Classic orc.
So now we'll talk about the Imperium. And this is where a lot of the terms have been thrown around, like Astronomicon, Gullah Field, and stuff are going to make sense. So the Imperium's primary system-to-system travel is the warp drive. And this is a device that rips a hole between reality and the warp. The ship will then fly into the warp using conventional fuel, and then it'll ride the currents of the warp, because the warp is just energy, right, flowing around. So it has currents going.
I'm waiting
which way,
for it.
And there we go. And the warp. And so it will literally like navigate these currents, and every now and again it'll use like its conventional fuel to like, oh, there's a better stream of energy over that way. So they'll use their conventional fuel to like launch over to that one, and then they'll ride that current for a while, and then when they get to the destination, they'll use their warp drive again to rip open a hole between the warp and the real space, and they'll fly out.
Hmm.
All the while, if they look out the window when they're in the warp, they just see fucking demons like clawing at the outside of their ship and stuff.
The Gellar Field, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So there are two types of jumps that a warp drive will make with the Imperium. The first one is calculated jumps. Calculated jumps are small jumps, no more than 5 light years from where they used to be, which is pretty small.
That's like, extremely small.
Yeah. To get to the nearest system, we've said it before. What is it, like 14 light years?
Something like that.
Yeah, I forget exactly. Hmm. There's numbers in my head that aren't real. So,
Well, it depends on where you are too, right? Like, because Earth is fairly far out in our galaxy. But if you were further in, it gets denser. So maybe if there's like, they're only going
but
a system
But 5 light years
over.
Is just relatively very small.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm just saying like that might get you to another system if you were further towards the core.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this relies on using like a lot of computers to like use previous warp data of where currents are and stuff. It's very much unreliable long distances,
which is why they can only make the 5 years.
Yeah, because the warp is constantly shifting, so you have to like have these calculations like, we know this little part is stable, but like as soon as you get into that warp stream, it could change and throw you off track. So the longer you're in the warp, the more likely it is that the warp stream's gonna change. So you know, they're outside of the warp and they're just calculating, oh, we found this current, quickly jump, and then they jump into it and they take that real quick jump and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So the other thing they have are piloted jumps, which can go up to 5,000 light years, which is a lot.
You're in for the long haul at that point.
And this is done by reading and steering the ship across the currents of the warp. So this one, they're like actively navigating the warp, trying to choose those different faster slipstreams.
That's using a psyker to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
A psyker called
specific psyker.
The Navigator, and it's a mutant psyker that has a third eye that allows him to see the currents of the warp, as well as see the Astronomicon, which is like the Emperor's lighthouse. He sends like a beacon into the warp of light, so it allows you to gain like where you are in the warp.
Yeah, like the currents might constantly be changing and shifting, but the Astronomicon is always in the same place.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
So you can kind of...
It's like a compass.
Yeah. Exactly. You can kind of judge where you need to go depending on where that light is.
And these navigators are the only ones that can see it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Other psykers cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like it's tuned to them.
Yeah.
Can other psychers or not... Can other psychic races see the Astronomicon beacon? Only humans.
It's a specific gene.
I thought we talked about Tyranids can see the Emperor.
It's one of those things where it's rumored that they think that's why they
Them in.
Hmm. Yeah. But it's one of those rumors where it might as well be confirmed, but it's not technically confirmed. But like, I'm pretty sure other races could probably see it. Like, you think the Eldar wouldn't be able to see that giant lighthouse?
Well, the reason I don't think so is because there's a specific gene within humanity that allows them to do it. So unless the Eldar shared that gene.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Fair enough.
Like he's engineering warp magic at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's said to have placed this gene within humanity's race so long ago.
Yeah. That makes sense then that he wouldn't want anybody else using it.
No,
maybe,
of course. So. Yeah, it's like his specific thing.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Yeah, it's like tied into a specific frequency or whatever.
Sanguinius can see it.
Sure.
At the Council... No, not Sanguinius. Magnus. At the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah.
He talked about how it was a shining beacon of hope and light. So I know he can see it.
Yeah, it might just be you have to be like a super powerful psyker maybe even.
Or you have that specific gene.
Yeah. But our next episode that we're doing after this one is going to be on the navigators, because they have like whole houses and like ancient traditions that like they're a highly respected thing in the Imperium, because without the navigators the entire Imperium would crumble then you could only jump 5 light years at a time and not even safely.
It just completely cripples your ability
They're pretty cool, like they have whole houses and we'll get into that.
Models
I think there's been like maybe one or two custom models. I don't think they've ever been on tabletop.
No, I don't think
but,
so.
But I think
it wouldn't make sense for them to typically be right? Because they're on ships usually, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there has been some models where it's like just a diorama type thing or whatever.
I'm sure someone's created them. But
this might be a bad question.
They have the third eye.
Could you ever have a space marine navigator?
Like, I don't see why not. The problem would be...
Why would you do it?
What's
why
more valuable? You?
Yeah.
And like, the navigator can only ever be a navigator, but anyone can be a space marine.
Yeah, so it's a waste of a gene seed?
Anyone can... No, not, anyone not can a waste try. Of gene seed. It's a waste of a
navigator. There's a key word.
It's a waste of a navigator.
Because they're rare.
Yeah, and navigators can only... Well, we should save it for our navigator.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a good episode, because...
I'm looking forward to it.
They're essential for the Imperium to function.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their two types of jumps. But as we said, like, the warp is not a safe place. It is terrifying. And there are dangers to warp travel. The warp is infested by, like, supernatural beings and, like, demons, of course.
Energy.
Yeah, even just, like, energy lashes out at your ship. Like, a very strong current, like, shoots towards your ship and it could rip it apart.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, malicious at that point. It could, so many races have created a psychic barrier that actually repels them, and humanity's version of it is called a Geller field. And
this is another just piece of technology.
Yeah, and basically what it does is it creates a bubble of real space around the ship so that it can kind of just like, you know.
It's like you take that real space that, like, you activate your Geller field, you put this bubble around yourself, and then you go through the warp and you exit another area, and now that area, you remove that Geller field, now that space that you took with you now exists in that other area.
Oh. Yeah. Let's use a water metaphor. Ready for this?
Yes.
It's another ball metaphor, ball water metaphor.
All right.
So you got like a beach ball, right? That's the Geller field. Inside that beach ball, you got something and it's kept safe, and you throw it on the ocean, but that ball or that thing inside the beach ball never gets wet because it never touches the warp, never touches the water. How'd I do?
That's okay.
It's all right. Not my best warp analogy,
but it's kind of cool to think like you're technically moving space.
Yeah. That is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but occasionally technology fails.
The machines are fickle. That's what
I've
heard.
Machines are fucking fickle.
That's right.
And entire souls are devoured if this Gellerfield fails.
Makes sense.
Hmm. No big deal. It'll happen.
Entire souls or entire ships?
Both.
There you go.
Well, where do you think all these space hawks come from? Yeah. There's got to be ships left over to fuse with asteroids and other ships for orcs to fly on.
So, oh my god.
Yeah. Definitely the souls are gone. 100%. Those don't last long in the warp.
The other crazy thing about the warp is time in the warp and time in real space function differently. So when you're doing warp travel, you could make the same route multiple times and it could take you different amounts of time. Yeah, because they function differently.
I don't remember reading any way around that either.
There is one way, which we'll get into later. Okay,
but if they're bringing real space in with them, is time changing in that real space they're in?
So
no. Yes.
Yeah. So
how does that work? Because if they're bringing real space,
normal time, but when they leave again, like because now they've created essentially a different pocket of time, but then the galaxy outside is still progressing at a different time. Okay,
so the time inside the Gellerfield is not tied to the rest of the universe.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, so there's currents in the warp, and imagine like if the currents are going in the direction you're traveling, like it's speeding your ship along, right?
Okay.
But if the currents are going against you, it's like it's going to take longer to go. True. I don't know. It's time is a weird one when you're thinking about the warp.
Hmm.
But there's not any like...
The warp is like a river.
That's another analogy I got for later.
Water. It's all water-based.
The warp is like rain.
Well, it could.
Demons invading a planet?
Falling down like raindrops?
Yeah.
There you go. Little pieces of warp.
little warp, guys.
So that's kind of how the Imperium does it. There's a lot of like little details that we're going to cover further when we talk about navigators and stuff, because their sole purpose is just to make warp travel possible. So next episode. So now we'll talk about Chaos and how Chaos travels.
Oh, they didn't talk about conventional fuel.
Yeah, they have conventional fuel. So they got rocket boosters, and their primary source of fuel is called Promethium, which is just gasoline.
How dare you? It's sacred.
Sacred gasoline for their combustion engines. So Chaos, they function much as the same way as the Imperium with warp drive and Promethium-fueled engines, except warp travel for them is a lot safer because they're usually blessed by like one of the Chaos Gods.
Yeah,
so they've given the protection, like, we're not going to invade you with demons while you're traveling through the warp.
Right, because we want you to go into real space and tear shit up.
Yeah.
So they don't use Geller fields.
They still do, because not all gods are benevolent.
Yeah. And like, there's still like just the energy of the warp.
Exactly.
Yeah, Materium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the reasons why Gellerfields fail is because they get overloaded. Think like force fields. If you shoot it with enough energy, it overloads. So it's just that much
in
more.
In what reality?
In any.
In ours?
Sure, yeah. We just haven't reached that time yet.
it exists.
Oh, yeah.
Just not right now.
Or not on Earth.
Sure.
You think we're the only sentient things out there, Eric?
No, that's preposterous.
You are preposterous. Wait. I'm the preposterous one! So the other thing that helps Chaos a lot, too, is they're actually able to read and understand the currents of the warp better. And lots of times, they won't even need navigators. Because they can just kind of, they know.
Oh, but they do have navigators.
Sometimes they do.
Another thing is that, like, because they're, like, blessed with Chaos God, that God can, like, affect the warp and, like, speed them on their way and, like, make the warp calm for them or, like, push them along. So they get a lot of extra help that humanity does not.
Yeah. But, yeah, it pretty much functions the same way. They open up warp rifts and stuff. But the other thing that they use a lot, too, are called warp rifts. And those are just, like,
it's like teleporters, tunnels.
Sure, yeah. Like think the Eye of Terror, the Maelstrom. Like, these are warp rifts where if you go inside, now you're in the warp, and you can then traverse the warp and come out another warp rift.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Huh.
Still in the warp. That's the bad thing.
Yeah, you basically remove the warp drive where it tears open a hole in the warp. It's a stable hole
in
the warp
that
you can just go into. But since it's a stable one, you can kind of map out maybe better where it's going to end up, or you can kind of map out the currents a little better.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So that's kind of all the major races and how they kind of individually go about traveling and making their way across the galaxy.
The real question is, how do those hand people do their thing?
They might not.
How do they get across the galaxy?
They are pretty psychic, aren't they?
That's what I want to know. So maybe they just hop in the warp.
Don't mind me.
Surfboard across the
just like finger surf. Yeah. They create like a surfboard out of psychic energy, mm-hmm. and they ride it all the way like fingerboards.
Naturally,
sounds good.
That makes sense. Logic flawless.
There are additional ways to travel the galaxy, though, that most races will take advantage of if they have the opportunity to, but they're usually rare or
like what?
Warp gates. So a warp gate is like can be a physical thing, or it can be just like an actual like a warp rift, but it's entirely stable, and it's like a wormhole essentially. Just it goes through the warp where it has one opening and one exit, and it just goes between the two spots. And what's really unique about this is it's 100% stable. So if you go in, it will always take you the exact same amount of time, and you won't get invaded by demons. So you can go through one of these.
It's protected from demons?
Well, they say it's completely safe.
Wait, are these something that were built?
Some of them are, but they're also just naturally occurring things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like some of them are the size of a human, some of them are the size of like a spaceship.
Oh.
Warp gates, eh?
Yeah.
Do they just open and close, or are they like once they're there, they're there?
They're like wormholes. Like once they're there, they're there. They might eventually close. But yeah, the only downside to this is like they only go to one location. So if you want to go to that location, great. But if not, like they're kind of useless, right?
That's interesting. Yeah. Are there any known ones?
There were two of them, but I can't recall them. There was the Jericho Reach one.
Yep, Jericho Maw.
Jericho Maw. And one
goes from Jericho Reach in the Ultima Segmentum to the Segmentum Obscurus.
Yeah.
But that one, it leads to a turbulent warp storm area.
Hmm.
And then the other one, Warp Gate 492, was declared unusable to the Imperium. I don't understand that.
Warp Gate 492, which would kind of imply that there's been a bunch before it. 491.
It also could just be like an area.
490. Could be just an area, sure.
Geography designation.
Sure, yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, they're naturally occurring, but sometimes like there have been like actual devices built around it to either increase the size of it or to make it more stable or to like keep it from collapsing, because eventually they might collapse, but yeah. Any other thoughts on warp gates while you're on that, Eric?
No.
So also there's a bunch of other things. Like you can pretty much think of any like science fiction travel, like wormholes. If you find one, you might be able to go through it. Black holes, like, some galaxies use that to travel. 40K, I'm sure there's probably been stories out there like that, but it's definitely the exception as opposed to like how it's normally done.
Right.
Yeah.
The warp is like the main tool everyone tries to get access to.
Yeah.
For the Imperium, there was also the method that the Emperor was working on, wasn't there?
He wanted to tap into the webway.
Yeah.
So he was creating a webway gate, or it was already there.
Was it a new webway?
No. The same one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was an already existing webway gate.
Oh, he was just trying to make it so everyone could go through it.
Yeah. Well, trying to open it, essentially, and then keep it stable, keep it open.
Is that still a possibility that could happen in the future, or?
It's a possibility. I think they should open it right now.
So during the Horus Heresy books, the Emperor does end up opening it and going through, and then Magnus the Red comes and does this whole fuckery where he actually ends up destroying the Webway Gate. But there's a huge story about where a bunch of custodes are in the Webway when this happens, and when Magnus destroys it, he opens up the webway to demons. So demons are flooding into the webway right where Terra is. So Terra's webway gate, if you open it again, demons are going to flood out.
And they have been constantly assaulting Terra through that for like 10,000 years. And the custodians are just constantly battling them.
I think that's just a fan theory, but
is it?
Pretty sure it is.
I thought that was...
No, because like the whole thing is like the Emperor has closed the gate.
I thought they were constantly trying to get through, though, and they like would slip through.
No, they are constantly trying to get through, but I don't think they ever have. And that's why the Emperor is so important as well. Another reason. There's many reasons. He's a good guy. Great guy. Got Emperor Trump. We got it.
But yeah, you definitely don't want to open it.
Yeah.
Even a new one? Not the one that he was working on, but a different one?
I don't think he, like, anyone knows how to create them.
Yeah. Like, there are examples of, like, humans in the Webway. Yeah. Like, there's even some examples of, like, whole Space Marine chapters. Like, at one point, the Salamanders find a Webway gate, and they go and lay siege to Cormorah, like, the Eldar's homeworld, or not homeworld, but their dark city. And they actually, yeah, go into there, lay siege on it, kill a bunch of stuff, and leave. So, humans can use the Webway. Mm. It's just a matter of actually finding gates that are open.
Right.
Yeah, and then because, like, the Eldar use it way more than us, they're going to protect it way more fervently than we are going to throw anything at it. Yeah. Like, sure, the Salamander, the entire chapter of Salamanders, like, would go use that, but if the Eldar need to, like, all of them would work towards protecting this gate.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's so vital to them.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
We would win. Humanity would win. If, like, if, all if of humanity can't even Eldar.
Fucking wipe out the town, good luck doing anything else.
If it became a thing where it was like, hey, look, humanity, if we all just work together and we kill all the Eldar, then the Webway will be ours.
And if all the orcs would just band together, they would conquer the universe. Yeah. And if all the Tyranids would just band together, they'd conquer the universe.
Hydra doesn't count.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm not saying they would count the universe. I'm saying then they would have like unhindered access to the Webway, other than the fact that there are holes in it and demons pouring through it every once in a while.
Yeah. No big deal.
Because it's not a perfect
thing. They just need to wake up the Emperor.
That also could do it. Or kill him.
Kill him and then he'll come back to life.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we should do.
Vortex. You never know. It's a roll of the dice, 50-50. What are you going to do?
So that pretty much covers that. Like,
yes, that's space those are all the travel.
Major things. Like, yeah, they just come up with so many different unique ways of doing it.
Each one is really cool, has its own unique flavor.
And it matches the race too, which is really cool.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, like the Necrons just having this weird technology that just makes perfect sense to them. And they just,
we can't even comprehend it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like, that works with them.
Yeah, exactly. Orcs riding asteroids in the walls.
Undoubtedly my favorite right there. Just, like, I feel like this asteroid is just like passing by, and like two asteroids are passing by, and they all just have grapple hooks. Yeah. And they're like trying to whip it to the other one, and the other ones are trying to come on that one and fight them. It's just, and then so it's funny because all the orcs on one leave to go to the second one, and the other ones all come to this one, and they're like, ah, shoot, we missed our chance to fight.
I guess we'll just fight each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good cool stuff.
Classic orc.
Yeah.
Well, that's our episode, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Rio and James.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
On this adventure through space
and time.
And the warp.
I don't really like.
We never went through the warp because none of us are psychers, so we don't have the ability to open a warp rift.
You can't.
I've been told.
Maybe if you had a warp drive, but you don't.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have the psychic ability to turn it on.
Good. That's what I like to hear. It's best to keep it that way because if I found out all of a sudden you did have that psychic ability, I'd have to kill you.
How? How would you go about killing him?
With a stick. I'd kick it out.
Kick or throw.
It doesn't matter. You're dead. Either way. Oh, I'm going to give that stick to a peasant, and he's going to give it to another peasant. And
then
peasant railgun!
I'm going to create a peasant railgun.
God.
Anyways, thanks for joining us, guys.
One more thing.
Oh, okay.
I've been hopping on Instagram Live a lot last couple of nights, and I'm just painting, talking to people. So, yeah, join me for painting. It's very motivating painting with other people. It's very depressing painting alone in my garage. There seems to always be playing like depressed music in the background. So it's nice not to be like that.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
It really does.
Even if my phone's dead, there's still music, depressed music coming out of it. I don't get it.
It's in your own head.
Maybe. I don't know. All I'm saying is the music ends when I'm on Instagram Live.
And then I can't.
But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Hop on there, join me. Yeah, it's good.
It is cool.
Get some stuff painted.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for listening.
Sayonara.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
bubble boy, bubble boy, bubble boy.